People come to this country for many reasons. Our next story is of a woman who came here to be allowed to sing.
Rifat Sultana. Last summer, I happened to pass by a stage at a festival in Oregon, and a woman sitting in the middle of the stage floor very calmly in this huge arena, singing with a voice and a passion that were huge. So later, we talked about growing up in a family with a music tradition going back 11 generations who forbade her to sing in public.
I came from very, very big classical singing. My father and my uncle, they are very big classical singer from Pakistan. Kind of big musical family. My ancestors is like 500 years ago, their generation to generation. So not this whole period women sang. Women is like not allowed. I don't understand that. Why they don't allow to women sing in our family. But I still like this hope or this feeling in my heart, in my soul. So on my childhood time, I start singing. And I'm maybe 10 year old and I just like a first time sing for my father. And I have good voice and my father is shocked. Even whole family is shocked. I was like, oh my gosh, she has very good voice and she's like a 10 year old. God just bore me for this. And then my father said, well, still you have nice voice and everything, but we don't want to allow you to sing, you know. So I'm just like, I said, okay. My father is like teaching my brother, not me. And I'm just like, training myself. I listen them, I listen other artists from Pakistan. And then have tapes, listening. Every time I'm sitting, I have book on and I'm just like thinking about music, singer, singing. Even I have exam one day and I didn't, 1, 2, 3 question, I forget and who to write song line over there. And next day, I'm so scared in my head. Mr. She came, principal, she said, Rifat, and I'm just like, so maybe I don't know what happened. She didn't tell me anything and she said, you know that song? I said, which song? He said, this song, I like that song. Can you sing for me? And I'm sitting next to her in the floor and I'm singing song.
Hai niyala ne rang lae dita ta main shagan manondi.
Then I grew up and I just like have hope, and my father's friends came from India and Europe, and he has a lot of students over the whole in the world, you know. So they listen to me and they say, oh wow, your daughter is the best singer, you know. Why you don't work on with her, you know, like a teacher? And then his one thing is no, we can't, very nicely, we can't do that. Our culture is this, because we all men singing, and this is like a disrespect if women sing. There's some kind of red light girl or something. This way, my father, that's it. That's why he doesn't allow me to sing, because they are a big family to came from, big gharana, big, like my ancestors is work with the Mughal people, Mughal King Akbar, and we have very, very big respect, you know. So my father doesn't want me to, his daughter out and people thinking and other people looking like that way. When I'm in Pakistan, when I'm teenage, like a 14, 13 year old, my mom said, go inside and clean the living room. And I just close the door everywhere, lock it, have a tape inside, whole day dance first, and then singing. And my mom is like, open the door, what are you doing inside? Oh, yeah, I want to clean that. I'm just like starting dusting. And I can't, it's like, I can't handle. My mom just like, when I came out, my mom hitting me. I just forget everything. I'm just sitting, I'm dancing, dance. This is I am, you know.
Hor chadavad pira bakrate chhatre. Hor chadavad pira bakrate.
My engagement got broken and I'm heartbroken, and my father realized. She's so sad. I feel like it's disaster, but it's not disaster. So I starting with him touring, and he said, "You just like play tanpura, you know, like instrument one. Play with us and take care of me and listen to the music." he gave me some lessons and everything, and then I start practice my, then I feel so happy. He said, okay, you do your thing, learn with yourself, you know, but not perform. He still said, no, performance, just learn. I said, okay. And then I started learning, and then practice. So I starting this thing, and I'm touring with him. I have very good time. I went to Europe with him, in Holland, Germany, Switzerland, England, came America, then go back. That is the best time in my life. Best time. I just miss still, and I feel so happy. And my brother Sakhawat, he lived long time ago in America, United States, in New York. This brother is the, I feel like he's the best brother who understand my feeling, and he not feeling anything like a embarrassing, like a my father embarrassed in front of other families. So he said, no problem, you have to sing. And then I met Richard, and he become my father's student, learn raga, to play guitar, you know. So we like each other, and then we married. And then we made band. I made band with my brother, and then we starting house concert in Pakistani people, you know. Every Saturday and weekend, they invite us for the parties, for wedding. Mostly my brother, but sometimes I sing too with him, and I feel so happy. 2-3 songs, he allowed me to sing. I went to somebody's house, like my friend, in a party, and they have harmonium and tabla, and I sing. This is not like I get money just for guest over there. So I think my first performance is in San Francisco. Pakistani people have Eid, you know, Eid. Eid is like a kind of Christmas for us, you know, Muslim. After Ramadan, fasting we did 30 days. After Ramadan, one day is we make big celebrate like a Christmas, and we call Eid. So this is the biggest show and first performance. The first song, I'm a little bit nervous because this is my first song, sitting on the stage, mic and everything is like... And then after I warm up, I just go for like a 4 or 5 hours we sing, my brother and I. I'm like totally into, I feel like this is nothing. This is me, you know, I'm not scared. I said, I'm not singing for money and this. This is like a whole my life. I just want to perform. Then I started living here and doing show with my brother. And then slowly, I'm lying with my father. I didn't perform because I live with my brother here and they are in Pakistan. And I told my brother Sakhawat, I said, don't tell them because they feel bad and they don't let me sing. He said, okay, we hiding. So then slowly people, I'm going out more and more and starting singing with the people. And a lot of people came, you know, it's like they're hiring us, you know. And then Richard is involved with us too. And then we make one band, Ali Khan band. And one more guy, he play keyboard with us, and one drummer, Richard, no, all American. He doesn't know anybody, but he put bring everybody, and then we made a very nice little band. So I can't hide with my father. He found out in England. He's in touring in England. Somebody told your daughter sings so good, and he just like, oh my God, what? My daughter didn't sing. She, who told you she sings? He said, I saw her for sure. And then he just like, he came here visiting me very nicely, said, you start singing. So no, Khan Saab. I call my father Khan Saab, not father. Khan Saab is like a big title, like he's a big man. So I said, no, Khan Saab, I didn't sing. And he said, no, somebody told me in England, you performed that place and this place. And then I just like, I said, yeah, I perform, but this is Sakhawat, my brother's show, and I sing 2-3 songs with. And he doesn't know I'm the main singer, you know. So then he find out, because we become going more and more and far and far. And then, and my father is okay. He find out. And I took him one time, one show in Ashkenaz. And that show was like 200-300 people there, everybody dancing. My father saw this scene and he just like, wow.
And then he started dance too. First time I saw him, he dance. And my older brother, they touring that time, and they came in our show. And they just like so happy. And then after this, my father realized, and he said, okay, do your thing, whatever. But respectfully, not to go very down and do something wrong, you know. I give you permission. So stick with your brother. Okay, fine. I understand. You're not like the same, your other sisters. For myself, I give big sacrifice for music. It came from very, very far other country. It's like a very far for me and away from my family, away from my mom, away from my brother. We are very joint family. We are very close each other. This is like a biggest sadness in my heart, you know. So I give for music, sacrifice everything for my freedom, mostly for my music, you know. And right now I feel that, because when my father passed away, and I feel like what I lose, they're like angels for me, my mom and dad. And then after this, I just feel like, hey, look at this, what I did. It's almost 13 years I'm in the United States, away for many people die in my family. A lot of disaster, happiness is came, and I'm still here doing music. And that's it, because I need that, I want that. I feel like I'm fully artist, you know. I feel that, not even artist, I'm born for this way. The music is in my soul. I feel if I don't, God didn't give me music and I born in the world, I'm dead. I'm like a dead person walking if I don't know sense about music. It's very difficult for me to live here, you know. It's like a different culture. So I give a lot of this all in my life just for music. Different culture, different people. I have a language problem. My English is not good. And marry with a white person is like in the beginning, he don't understand me. I don't understand him. The music make us together still. We are so totally two different person, you know. So when his music came, we are so lovely, love each other with love. Like God made us for each other. It's like that. So sometimes for money, we just a little bit upset each other. If we don't have this kind of stuff, we are okay. We never fight each other, we never do anything. And when his music came, we are all together. And I tell you, it's like a culture difference. At the beginning, I didn't understand him. He want me to follow him, to be like American way. I want to he go my way. Because I came from a musician family. My father is still in my home, everybody wake at night time. Nobody sleep. They sleep in daytime, early morning. But this is the musician life in over there. And my father, after performance, he came home, even 4 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock, everybody wake up, even children wake. My mom serve food for him, 10 people with him. It's like always like this. We are like, this is I grew up. And then Richard and I have issue because he have to make money and survive the house and this and that. So I understand that. And I said, I don't want to fight with him because if I made him this way, we not have anything, you know. Right now I'm doing music, and whatever is poor, rich, small money, little, big, whatever, I want to do this. So he tell me a lot this, and this is the big issue. We fight, I'm sick, depression, everything is coming out. So later he understand she's not a kind of person to I tell her to do thing that and then let her go to her way. Oh yeah, I'm very, very for. I love for everybody's religion. I don't feel like I hate like mostly people. A lot of other people does that kind of stuff. For we are artists, we for everybody. My father one thing teach us: we don't have boundary. Artists don't have any boundary. They are for everybody. Even somebody Hindu, somebody Muslim, somebody Christian, somebody Jewish, whatever. When I on the stage, I totally forget everything. I'm so into in the music. I feel like some other person is came in my body, you know. So a lot of time, my brother and Richard told me, don't sing too hard and push. And it's like, I said, okay, I don't want to, they said, sing for soft song, don't push like you do. I don't know where it came from, an energy. Somewhere energy came from, and I'm just like a totally intense, totally in, it's like some kind of big, and it's pushing me too much. I don't know, it's about music, or some kind of, we sing spiritual music, that's why some happen. And or music, I'm so into music. Music make me to do that. Later I'm just like feel so, my body start hurting. I feel like somebody's inside. After this I said, oh my God, what happened? Why I'm doing this? And when I'm saying, everybody says you're totally different person. You're so into, so right on. It's like, my God, I feel like you're not the same girl I'm talking with you before, like very nice and simple and okay. And when I'm on the stage, this is something my guru, my Allah, have some extra blessing from them. That's why I have this intensity to do that. I have a little sickness, I have a little back problem, so I cancelled a lot of shows, and now I'm recovering and I'm slowly. I performed this last year, 2004, in Italy, big show with Quincy John, Italy in Rome. We have very best show, very nice, Quincy John. We did We Are the Future, like We Are the World before, and they did for, this is like a benefit for children. I sharing the stage with Santana. He's very nice, he's so down to earth, he's a very nice artist, Santana, and Alicia Keys, and a lot of big artists are big. And I love my performance. It's like 100,000 people over there. It's like a sea full of people, and this is the biggest show in my life I did, and make myself so proud, and give me more courage, give me more confidence after this show. So that's why I'm gonna be doing more. Sometimes I'm depressed with music because money thing and this all stuff. But when I see this kind of event, then make me again like a big, and I should do something more, you know. So this is my biggest show in my life. My solo show, not even my brother with me. And make me so, I'm not like I don't have ego or something, but make me so happy because my soul is happy inside. This is I want. This is I whole time fighting with my families, with all my relatives, and came from very, very far away to here and start my life for freedom, for music. So this is I got. This is I want. So I did. If my father is alive, maybe he's so happy. I'm still, this is my question. Sometimes I said, I don't want to do that. The music. And it makes me so sad. Sometimes I'm so into music, like I feel like I'm not as, I don't want to be a singer. Why God don't make me to that world, you know, the music world, the raga world, this is like some other people, which we can't see them. This is my father told me. We are a human being, and there's a lot of other aliens, you know, and one of the ragas is alive too. When you sing, and the note is touch your heart, this is like they're alive, but we can't see them. They are like some kind of alien, you know, something. So I feel sometimes why I'm not belong to that place, being like singer here. I should be some kind of note or raga, you know, like people sing me. This is I question for myself all the time. People sing, I don't want to sing, you know. Like this is Morning Raga Gujri Todi. The name is Morning Raga. Gunkali is Morning Raga. And Afternoon Raga Bhopali. And this ragas all have time. So I'm thinking that. I said, why I'm not belong to that world? Why people sing me? I'm some kind of raga. Note. And I don't know what is the next, you know. We're doing still same thing, the music, you know, and I wanna be like singer. I wanna be do more and more and more. And it's all about my heart and make myself happy, my spirit and my heart.
In San Francisco, we were talking with Rifat Sultana. More information, www.rifatsultana.com.
Well, it was one of those New Year's letters from some old friends. Along with the personal chronicle, there was a poem. And thinking about the world and the relative power of shock and awe as opposed to music and laughter, we thought this would be apt. Joe Todd passes along words of advice from Cyrus the Great, King of Persia, 539 BCE. What's the matter with Babylon? I am Cyrus, King of the world, great king, legitimate king, king of the four rims of the earth. Having said all that, I am sitting in my linen tent, a man of the mountains, and trying to understand these two outsized rivers of virid brown. I wade into the circling currents of the Euphrates and push the water up and around me. I instruct the army to do the same and to put on clean clothes and to polish the swords and spears and lay them aside. I sit in front of my tented house and pour fresh water and put out plates of sweet dates and invite the storytellers and priests, sometimes they're the same, to come to a party. We eat and drink in the cool evening. We watch the rivers. And for many days and nights, I listen. And I learn. I learn from the storytellers and from the priests that the land between the two great rivers is divided into four parts with different gods and spirits in their tribes. That the north was the great military home of the battle god Ashur, and that his temple house at Nineveh had been burned to the ground by my grandfather and the king of Babylon. They got that right. I learn that the gods of the south near the sea gulf in Sumer all loved the beautiful and demanding Ishtar, who required worship with rich jewels and perfumes brought by their clever merchants from far lands, and that her sumptuous palace had been ripped apart by Nabonidus, king of Babylon, who took the treasures and went on vacation in Tema in Akkad. I learn that Akkad, between Babylon and Sumer, revolted against Nabonidus' cheap replica of the great temple Esagila, that the original had been built by the gods themselves for their assembly, and that daily Nabonidus blabbered incorrect prayers. I learned that great Babylon, city of the great god of all, Marduk, had been placed into slave labor by Nabonidus, and that Marduk had left town in disgust. A Hebrew fellow named Ezekiel, called himself a prophet priest, told me the temple for their god in a western city had been destroyed and that 10,000 of them had been sent in captivity to Babylon. They did not have any statues, but much gold and silver plate had been taken from their god's house before it was wrecked. I quite enjoyed hearing about all of these interesting gods, and especially about how the gods of the two great rivers met in an assembly and gave advice and supervised construction projects, and that they expected their people to do the same. I asked my own god of holy wisdom whether he thought this great Marduk might talk to me, and he said he thought he would if I had something interesting to say. I worked on my approach to him, trying to understand his problems and why he had been run out of Babylon, and Marduk came to me as a friend, and he asked me to walk with him to Babylon. I told him I had the army with me, and he said we should all go together. And the great troops spread out as wide as a third river and strolled along, their weapons packed away. I said to Marduk, I think the trouble is housing and maybe housekeeping. And Marduk nodded his head. So I sent the army ahead with brooms to sweep the streets and bring clay bricks from the riverbank to rebuild the houses of the people. And they filled the lamps with fresh oil and scrubbed the wells and mended the buckets to bring up clear water. I did not allow anyone to terrorize any place in Babylon, Akkad, or Sumer. I rebuilt in the sacred cities all of the sanctuaries which had been in ruins for a long time, and I returned all of the images that lived in them, and the gods appeared to be pleased to be back in the places which made them happy. I sent Ezekiel and his friends back to their western city of Jerusalem with their silver and gold plates and money to build a new temple for their God. I have never been to this place, but I prayed with them that they would get home safely. Finally, Marduk sat with me in the palace at Babylon, and we arrested Nabonidus when he returned from vacation. Marduk called an assembly of the gods, each bringing wisdom from his or her province. And he showed me how they listened to each other before they argued. Together, we brought the people of Babylon out of their slavery and taught them how to order their own lives. My scribe has recorded all of these things in writing on a clay barrel, and he fired it for preservation. I understand the Babylonians have also told of these events in their chronicles. And Ezekiel told me that our adventures in Babylon are recorded in his book. You could read all of these things. We can learn.
That was What's the Matter with Babylon by Joe Todd, who lives in Los Gatos, California. Thank you, Joe.
Next time, we'll journey with octogenarians. And if you're in the Bay Area, our live performance party, the Hitchhiker's Cabaret Cauldron, continues the final Friday of every month. Email us for information, info@hitching.org.
Hitchhiking Off the Map is produced by The Independent Eye, supported by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts and by the Hitchhikers Guild. Visit www.hitching.org, where you can listen to 3 entire years of shows. This is Elizabeth Fuller
and Conrad Bishop. Peace and joy.
Well, I know that I can find great places to eat in about 30 or 40 different cities. I can get around in most of those cities. I've got wonderful friends everywhere. And I figure that just with the traveling that we've done, the people that we've met, the ideas that we've explored, the places that we've seen, we have crammed so much into such a short amount of time. Remember, I once had to do a talk about Buckminster Fuller. And I said, you know, Bucky Fuller, he crammed so much living into one lifetime that if we had more people like him, we'd need fewer people.